Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the Fit and Fab channel, The Works, and the NBC Network with your host, Hurricane H. New day, new show, super topic, a topic that I think we all need to hear. It's recurring, but it's something that we needed. And that doesn't matter. You know, as many coaches, as many, you know, folks, as many guests we can get, the more we hear about it, the better we can be. And it's a topic of really transformation, mind and body, spirit, and that kind of thing with coaches and how to really get better and healthier and live the vital life, you know. But you know, with this spin today of course fitness and training and strength training, weight training, all this stuff. So my guest today is Elijah Hines, and he's a personal trainer. He does a lot of virtual stuff, and he helps people really achieve great results. And we're going to talk about his journey that got him into this and the work he does and how we can really be better. And that's all there is. So Elijah, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. So again, as I you know, we're gonna talk fitness, we're gonna talk stuff. I love, you know, that nice little coach in my face, you know, so that's great. listen, you know, you are who you are, you help people, you coach them, you stuff. As a matter of fact, I just had a show and we talked about like a guide versus a coach and a mentor, you know. And so, you know, you do a little bit of coaching. Coaching is a little bit more intensive than just, you know, mentoring and or, you know, I guess just guiding people, right? So, and there's a little bit of all that. But before we get into that discussion, let's talk about, you know, Elijah's journey and what got you into this fitness world, and you know, how did you really become a coach and why?
Yeah, so once working out had the dramatic impact on my life that it has on everyone when they start working out, when my quality of life skyrocketed, I was having better days, better moments, better thoughts, better moods. It's like this has changed my life more than any other thing I've ever invested time and energy into. This has to be what I fully invest all my other time and energy into. Like a lot of people working out is the highlight of their day. Then the rest of the day, they're like, oh man, I wish I could just do that all the time. Like I wish everything I did was around that topic, and that was me as long as over 10 years ago. And I had a lot of confidence issues on pulling the trigger, getting certified, becoming a trainer, because I was like, am I ready? Do I need to have a certain look or a certain stats in the weight room to really get it started? So for years I worked in restaurants, managed restaurants and cafes and stuff like that, and I knew I always wanted to be a trainer, but I was always just kind of hesitant. And then one day, like a lot of other things, you just get tired of being tired of not being where you are, or sick of being sick of not having this thing. And I finally pursued it, and it's been amazing ever since.
Well, so there's a few things there. I mean, just the concept of, for me, I guess a determination, a goal, you know, targeting and goal achievement here. You know, you were like most of us are in this world, right? We get caught up in the world and we got to do our life, right? We work and stuff, but is it always the case where we pursue what we love and what fulfills us? That's one thing, right? And it seems that you've wanted to do that, but you kind of, you know, you didn't get to it right away. That's what it is. But eventually you did, and that's the great thing. So again, for our audiences, you know, we have to, you know, whatever you want to do, if you really want it that bad, you're gonna make, you know, the time for it, and you're gonna make the turn towards whatever those achievements and goals that you're setting right now. So that's one thing. But you talked about like how the gym transformed you and kind of you know, working out made, you know, a big impact in your life, but also the idea that you kind of were hesitant. You know, and I want to spend some time on that because a lot of people have that same problem. You know, they hesitate because they think they have to have a lot of stuff in place before they can make that move, whatever that move is in life. So let's talk about just that piece. Like, you know, what was the hesitation? I mean, I gotta mention one thing about like, you know, do I have to have all the certs and everything, you know, but what are the certs? Why does it have to be the certs? You know what I mean? So let's talk about that because really I hear that all the time. Actually, we haven't discussed that in previous shows, you know, certification. I mean, there's schools for all kind of certification online and stuff. Are they, you know, what's the merit of those schools? Are they really the right, you know, stuff or not? I mean, you know, these are like, is it easy? And if it is easy, then everybody can do it. Does it really mean that these people are really experts of what they are? I'm not criticizing, I'm just questioning, you know, from your expertise, what that looks like as a journey. Because a lot of people like, you know, want to be a fitness, you know, person or coach or trainer. I need to certify to be legit. You know, are there people without certification that training people and coaching? Yes. You know, so what gives, right? So let's talk about that component and also the fact of hesitation and how it's really, you know, deterring people from really achieving their goals.
Yeah, no, I'd love to get into the certification topic. It's kind of an interesting one. But as far as the hesitation, some of the hesitation and the lack of confidence was actually for a good reason. I wasn't particularly large and muscular, but I also wasn't particularly like freaky shredded and ripped. I was kind of just skinny fat. I didn't look that much like I worked out, and my lifts in the gym weren't that impressive per se. And on one hand, I could have been like, well, look, that'll come with time. Let's just go ahead and get this started. Like, a lot of times negative emotions like anxiety or depression or lacking confidence, it's not reason. Like, that's our brain having intelligence, right? It's like, if I had the stats that I do now and look like I do now, I would have been way more confident. I would have been like, yeah, I got this. This is no problem. As far as coaching, a lot of it too is just having the experience. So it's like that imposter syndrome. If you haven't done a thing, you know, not being confident going into that is, again, kind of for a good reason. That's your brain having intelligence, like, can I do it? So I had actually got a local certification when I was like 20 or 21. I applied at a few commercial gyms, wasn't really getting any callbacks. That was messing with my confidence. And then honestly, just because of who I was at that time of my life, I just gave up. I was like, I still want to do this, but you know, my buddy, he said he needs help at this restaurant. Maybe I'll go check that out. And then I ended up spending an entire decade in that industry, which is kind of crazy. I perceived that as a negative thing once I did start training. So I was like, man, I could have started this so long ago. But honestly, it did work out and come full circle because I picked up so many social skills and got very natural and comfortable just talking to people. So then I entered the gym world, the personal training world, and I'm with other trainers, and I can tell they're just kind of awkward. Like, they're just kind of uncomfortable with the silence between sets, like not really able to chop it up with clients. And so it's kind of this cool full circle moment. It's like, hey, it all worked out. The confidence thing, I just didn't think I was ready. And in a lot of ways, I wasn't. So years and years later, to fix that, I'm looking at, well, what do other people do? Like, let me stop having this ego about it and trying to figure it out on my own. Like, what have other trainers done? And I'm seeing people say, train your friends, train your family, train people for free. If you don't have the accolades and the stats, like, do they have a good reason? Do they have a compelling reason to work with you in the first place? So I'm like, okay. So I start telling coworkers, hey, I can bring people for free at this gym I'm at as a guest, come with me. And I'm just doing it for free. I'm spending my free time just helping people with their technique, gain a little more confidence, have more coworkers coming in. Now we have kind of a group going a few times a week, building more confidence. And funny enough, COVID, the lockdown, was like the best thing that ever happened to me because the restaurant closes. I had gotten NASM certified at that point. I have it on the wall, still hadn't pulled the trigger, still pussyfooting a little bit. And then all the gyms are closed, right? So I have this home gym right here. We put in our apartment living room, got rid of our dining room table, got rid of the chairs. It was like, we're going to work out. Like, not working out is not an option. Of all the mistakes I've made over the years, consistency in the gym has never been one of them. Lacking that consistency, like, training has always been a non-negotiable. So we get this rack, we get a home set up. People are seeing me work out in my stories online. They're like, what the heck, man? How much for a day pass? Kind of making a joke, but also everyone's like, I really need to work out. I tell them to come on through. They see the certification on the wall. They're like, oh, you're a trainer? I'm like, well, kind of, but kind of not, because I hadn't really started. And then they're like, well, can you train me? And it's this moment of like, wait a minute, this is it. Like, why not? I'm literally not even working right now. The restaurant's closed. So I get a few clients coming into my apartment. We're training in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. The 7-day week didn't even matter. No one was working. Such a crazy time, right? And then do that for a few months. Restaurant reopens. Now I'm doing both. Have my normal job, training people at home. And then I find this private facility in my hometown here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Happens to be the highest rated gym in my area. Private facility, a big step up from working at like a commercial gym, like a Fitness Connection or Gold Gym or something like that. Hit it off with everyone there and got started. And it was like the best thing that had ever happened to me. But the way it unfolded was kind of crazy.
There's a lot of stuff you covered there. You know, one is the ability to have confidence, right? And I think you said it well. I mean, you worked out, but you didn't really look the part, right? I mean, that's because there's an expectation for what a coach looks like, and then that's another thing. I mean, you know, when if I don't see you ripped, maybe I'm like, you know, well, you're not doing this to yourself. How can you do that to me? Right? I mean, that may be just one way of people looking at, you know, that concept, right? That doesn't mean, by the way, that's always true, because you can be a coach who has been doing a lot of years of it, and you may be, you know, just not as, maybe you got older, whatever the case may be. Now, that doesn't mean it's an age, that isn't, it's just a number. We can still keep up, you know, our fitness, you know, at a, you know, elderly stage. But the point is, people always have that expectation. So we can, it could be affecting your confidence. But you did say something that is interesting that I'd like to just spend a moment on, is the idea that you had your local certification, you applied a lot of places, but you didn't get any bites. And so I want to take a moment there, because this is something that's happening more and more, you know, these days across, you know, recruiting. I think the dynamics changed. Back in the days, you wanted a job, you walk in, you know, you're just not submitting any stuff. You talk to people, they like your personality. They're willing to train you, coach you, and mentor you to become that next trainer or whatever. Like, they take you as an apprentice, right? It's now it's more, you know, it's just automatic selection based on, you know, paper and less of who you are. There's no more discussions. Well, let me at least interview, see like what it is. For me personally, if someone is really willing and wanting something, you know, that means that's what I'm looking for. Because if I'm just going to recruit someone that may not have, now, of course, if it's competitive, there's a lot of, you know, candidates, obviously to pick the better, the, you know, the one with the more credentials, more expertise and experience. But even that, you know, like sometimes in our, for example, I mean, the insurance space, sometimes we look at, like, you know, up and down, like, do I need someone who's completely newbie, that is raw, that we can train and mold and get them really up to speed? We'll get someone with a lot of history, luggage and baggage, and, you know, set in their old ways.
Bad habits.
So, exactly. Yeah. So there is that balance, you know, and it's very difficult when you recruit to this. But you said it, because you've tried all that stuff, didn't work. Like, you were, and that also affects, like, maybe I'm not cut out for this job.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of took a whole thing. But I love what you said, that although it's a decade later, but you realize that those skills that you picked up, you know, in the long run, in the long way, you know, they were good skills, because they were people skills that you will eventually need, which also brings us to the discussion that everything is in this world kind of, you know, there's no coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. It all kind of ties in, you know, to stuff. We don't understand things at the current moment. 10 years from now, we will be like reflecting, like, oh, had it not be for that or the other or whatever, none of that stuff would have happened, or I'd have liked something. And so then you realize, like, okay. And by the way, this is an exercise that we can all do. If you don't believe me, you know, like, who are you, a hurricane, to say this? Just look at your own story. You know, whoever is watching and listening, look back at your life and connect the dots, and you're going to see that there is some sort of a reasoning behind it. It's something that we don't understand, but it happens in a particular, you meet people, certain people, at a certain time, at a certain place, and you don't know how it all happens, but it kind of adds up. And when you start seeing the puzzle, it starts clearing up a little bit. Like, again, that's really, it's a piece of puzzle that it's picking up pieces at a time. And it's all blurry until it's finalized. Like, whoa, this is the grandiose game, you know, thing that I was, you know, not seeing initially. But that, so that's an important piece, because sometimes people would start, like, you know, thinking that, you know, oh, this is not happening. Why am I here? Well, that's a dead end. But you don't know what's the purpose of that. And I love it when you're in the restaurant business, you know, and it is people, you know, one-on-one. I mean, you're dealing with people, you're talking to people, you're socializing, you're becoming a lot more alive. As you said, you don't want to be a dead person, you know, talking like, you know, hey, we need you to do 10 reps. Go for it. 1, 2, 3. And then there's nothing. There's no discussion. And I've seen it too. But at the gym, you can see two different types of trainers, right? The ones that are really cool and socializing and chatting and keeping the momentum. And they are the ones that basically, here's what I need you to do. And they just look at their, you know, clock. And then, time's up. You know, let's do this, switch this, and they're screaming and stuff. So there's different ways and modalities. But, you know, one obviously works better. If you're my trainer and you're socializing with me and you're connecting, you know, I'm going to probably respond better than if you're just robotic with me. Now, there may be people that just want that. I don't want to be friends. I just want to be trained. You know, that could be the other one. But again, this is an important for anyone that wants to pursue, especially in the fitness and training, you know, models and modalities. You know, it is an important piece that you want to add that social skill. I'm not even sure. Now let's deep dive onto that certification. Is there even a piece of socialization in the training? Because I don't think that there is. Even when you do personal class trainings, and I've seen those training courses, you basically present, you know, you get into a class, they give you a certain demonstration, you got to do some moves and how you're going to interact. That's about it. But really, are they really digging into your social skills? Probably not. I haven't seen that. Exactly. And a lot of it is just online, you know, in response to certain things. So it's kind of weird. So what was that experience like? And is it really, you know, worth it? What level? I mean, there are different, there are good certifications out there. Don't get me wrong. There's some advanced ones. And it's like basically degrees. The more you have of those, the better you are in terms of like understand the muscles, you understand the stuff, the therapies and all the stuff that can work with it. So you can, I mean, work with the body in the best way in shape, as opposed to if you don't know much of that, and you can certainly make mistakes where people can get hurt. So I get that concept of it. But let's talk about that process. For anyone, you know, that wonders what that certification process is, because it is credibility for trainers to have some of these credentials. But are they necessary? What level is necessary? What's the minimum? What's the maximum?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, how much trouble do I want to get myself in? Because so I'm a NASM certified personal trainer. Through them, I have their weight loss specialist certification, and I also have their performance enhancement specialization certification. And I can honestly say I didn't learn a single thing from all three of those. However, it is a little different because I live and breathe this stuff. I have ingested probably every single piece of YouTube fitness content that exists from ages like 19 to present. Like, I am so obsessed with this stuff. I'm constantly up to date on what people are finding out in the research and the evidence-based community. And then I also like to look at more anecdotal stuff and things that maybe don't line up with the studies. But if everyone's saying it works, screw the studies. Like, there's something to it, right? So I like examining both of those camps. But yeah, I mean, I'm so deeply invested into this that that could be the reason why I feel like I didn't learn a lot. If I came in and had never looked up this stuff, never done my own research, it would have all been random information. So someone's coming in totally out of the gate, yeah, they can learn a lot from those certifications. But, and then the social thing that's funny, there's almost a, they remove emphasis from a lot of the personal stuff. They're like, hey, issues at home, don't talk about them. If they bring up some serious topics about, you know, religion, it's almost like PC. It's like, we don't want to get too into their personal life. Just change the subject, bring it back to the workout. And from day one, as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, I'm never going to do that. That's insane. Like, if they want to go deeper and talk about what's actually going on in their life, that's going to make a way more impactful, meaningful relationship between me and my client. All of my clients are close friends. I know a lot about, you know, what they believe, the pitfalls they've had, struggles they've had over the years, not related to the gym. And because of that, we have a real relationship. And majority of my clients are long-term, 3 years and above. That's pretty rare for most trainers. Like, the system is kind of cyclical. People are phasing in and out. And that hasn't been my experience as much. And I credit that to being a normal person, having normal conversation, being willing to dive deeper into some of those more personal topics. So it's funny, it's called personal training, right? But they're like, but don't make it too personal. I say, well, hold on a second. It kind of has to be if it's going to be a real relationship. And I see a lot of, not to put myself on a pedestal and put other people down, but the place I worked, there would be some very awkward silences between sets and just very kind of staring at the wall, looking at the rep. Oh, 30 more seconds. Oh, 29 seconds. It's going by slow. It's like, it's not an enjoyable hour for the client or for the trainer. So I would encourage anyone to, whichever area you're excelling in, that's great. What's the area you're not excelling in? Let's focus on that. Because my whole thing is, why not do both? You're talking about the people that are a little more chatty and more friendly. I've seen a lot of trainers where they're very good at that area, and then the workout is horrible. Everything's out of order. There's no system. There's no structure. There's no method of progression. I'm like, ouch, yikes, that's unfortunate. And then I've seen people on the other extreme end where they got the clipboard. It's okay, because we did this last week, we're doing this week, that's great. And then it's time to chop it up. And again, it's kind of staring at the wall. It's like, why not do both? Why not do both? Why not have the best workout program, the best structure? It's pre-planned. It's not off the cuff. Like, that machine looks good, let's go jump on that. Like, I've totally seen people improv and just off the cuff make it up as they go along. That's disrespectful to the client's time and investment, right? And but maybe they're cool to chop it up with. I've seen a lot of people on both ends of the extreme. So my whole thing is like, let's just do both.
Well, you know, there's just quite a bit there. So there's a couple of things. You know, I get the concept where in training, they don't want you to get too personalized, right? And it's more like, you know, you do the coaching, you do the training, but don't get into their personal life. But on the flip, you know, so I can see that, you know, maybe there are problems, and I guess maybe over the years there have been conditions and things that kind of maybe lawsuits, whatever that happened between them. Because, you know, you got harassment, stuff like that. So I get that reason. So you don't want to get deeper into that part from their perspective, because I think they have to disclaim that too. They have to make that as a piece to protect, I guess, their courses and stuff, because again, they have to get licensed and all these things for these courses. But I think you're right from the personal aspect. I mean, you have to gauge that to what degree. Not everybody is equal too. Like, you know, your clients are, you know, different, right? Some would want you to probably be more social than others. But you're right, the more you know about their environment, you know, because however we train, whether we train or not, and how well we get results is also dependent on our personal environment, where we live, how we live, our structures, our business, our job. If we're stressed out at work and we come in and we're not, you know, getting the results, that's because, you know, there's something that's taking our mind away, right? And maybe that's the reason. So if you talk about it, it's like being a therapist also. Like, it's, you know, working.
It's a huge factor.
Exactly. You want to get into this stuff. And the ones that succeed more and get more results are the ones who can almost dissect those elements and remove, you know, those things by highlighting, oh, well, listen, I understand where you're going through and stuff like that, but we're going to do something about that and we're going to change it. Now, can you change everything? Of course not. I mean, you're going to do what you got to do for training. But at least sometimes people just need to talk about things. So you become that sounding board, somebody that's listening. And you're basically the social worker, the therapist that's helping them get through the mental stuff while you're pushing the physical. So it changes the dynamics of people. Now, again, that's 100%. An angle. It's an angle. So you also mentioned something that is interesting about someone with experience versus someone without experience. You know, being formally educated about the fitness world and the coaching and the mentoring, the bodybuilding, all the stuff versus someone who doesn't. Now, again, this is a question that's becoming more and more, you know, obvious today. One is being formal education versus knowledge. You know, being educated today is available to everybody in their palm. I mean, you know, Google, ChatGPT, you can learn anything you want. YouTube, you can learn anything. You can do everything. There's millions, not even thousands, millions of courses and videos and stuff and how to do stuff yourself. You can learn anything from math to science to physics. You can build, you know, whatever from there, right? But formal education remains a society, you know, concept where you need those certifications and certs and stuff to the allocates, right? You know, to make it, you know, looking good, right? You know, at least to differentiate someone's that. Now, does that mean someone with a certificate is better than someone who doesn't? Not necessarily. Because you can do a course for 20 hours and you have a certificate and you can be doing deep dive as you did, you know, education on the whole concept with the articles, the studies and stuff. You know it inside by heart, but you just don't have anything to show for it, you know, in a documentation format. So it is a give and take, you know, concept. So some people look at that. Like for me personally, to me, a degree, you know, I don't care what your degree is. It's you. It's your expertise. Your what you bring in the table. Because really, this is what it is. Like, you can read all the books. Books are theory. Practice is another thing. You can read all the books. Once you start, you know, working with people, you know, sometimes the books, you know, they have different things that you have to link up, you know, from page one to page 100. In real life, you're not going to be able to do that, you know, unless you see it in real action. Sometimes you see things that you didn't read about, like, you know, how did I miss that? Because it's not covered. There's always new things. So it's very difficult to get. And by the way, this is not just for fitness. This is for business, for a lot of other things, right? It is a big deal. And you can educate yourself anywhere. Knowledge is available, but formal education or formal, you know, credentials is just a requirement, you know, to kind of filter out people from, you know, some versus the other. The higher the better the degree, the better the school, the better this is. You just kind of escalate you to the next level. Now, some companies, they want the top of the top because that's how they present. You know, we got the best of the best of the best. But what defines the best? Their certifications, obviously, some of these schools and programs, they just put you a little bit through hard, you know, and you pay more and so on and so forth. So therefore, it gives the idea that you've been, you know, really vetted out better in your education, and you know your stuff. But that doesn't, the other way around, they don't have no proof that you've gone through all the necessary education. You can claim the world that you know everything. They don't. But a good, you know, a good recruiter, you know, a good someone that knows the business will know more about that just by testing you, for example, right? Like what you said, like, you know, when you do this education stuff, it is limited. It's not like years or months. It's a couple of hours, you know, maybe a couple of weeks and you're done, right? That's if any. Some of them are like 1 hour. You come in, you do your show, and that's it. You know, and you get a paper that says, yeah, I'm credentialed. Now, here's the thing. Who credentials the schools? Some of these schools, I mean, are they licensed by the Department of State, you know, whatever. So there's all these things. And are they, you know, what are there laws about these things? And so, so for example, in insurance, I mean, you get a license in insurance. I mean, you go through some heavy credential education and stuff like that. It's, you got to go to state exams, like nursing and stuff. There's, but I haven't seen that, for example, in like cosmetology is a simple thing, right? You got to get thousands. I mean, plumbing or some other skilled, you know, jobs, you know that there's thousands of hours of apprenticeship and you got to go through these hoops and loops to even get that license, right? But in these certifications, you go online, you can pick anyone you want. I mean, and some, by the way, I'm not, again, there are some great ones out there that we, and I don't want to endorse any particular ones, but there are some good ones, actually. I'm affiliated with a couple that that actually out there that that do provide some real credentials and stuff like that, and they go through the vetting process, you know, correctly. But the idea is, it doesn't mean that you're going to be good. People with certificate like certs can still be not a good coach or stuff. By the way, having
it could go either way.
Exactly,
it could easily go either way.
Exactly, you have the knowledge.
I've seen online coaches that have no credentials, and they probably should. Like, they literally don't know how to work out. It's like, this is crazy. Like, the workouts you're giving people are literally from a fitness magazine. It could be the exact same thing. And because you took some cool pictures and have like a good profile, you're being validated as a trusted source. And then on the flip side, right, it could easily go either way.
Well, it's true. And again, no judgment here, but you're right. Like, you're in a business. If anyone, by the way, you know, it is very difficult to, if you don't know well enough, to vet out the people, because I mean, you look great, right? So for me, I don't even have to look at credentials. Like, you probably know what you want and what, you know, what I need, right? So, and by the way, you go to the gym, someone sees you, you know, you're pushing, you're doing stuff, you know your machines, you know your, you know, your cycles, whatever. People are going to come to you, ask you questions. Hey, how do I do this? And you know, what's that?
Yeah.
Now, even the common folks that are not, you know, certified to do stuff, you get those questions. I, you know, sometimes I used to get those in the gym. Like, you know, someone comes in, you know, they don't have any help, they ask you a question. Sometimes you help them, sometimes you can't. Listen, I can't tell you what it is. You got to talk to a, you know, a trainer, stuff like that. So it's very difficult. But you're right. Online, it's how do you really show them? And even if you say I have a certificate, it's not like I'm gonna go on and look you up in the system and say, like, is this guy really real? Is it legit? Is that certificate real or not? We don't know that. I mean, people saw the picture and they like, hey, you have a certificate, you train. Now, obviously that was a legitimate one, but how do you know those things, right? You can, I can have a picture of a license that's not even with my name and you're not gonna know, because it's not like you're gonna zoom in on that picture from the background. So these are things. Now, again, this is just a piece of discussion, because I don't think we've had this discussion before. So it just came up, you know, as you introduced that. And it's important to look at it. So people, you can vet out, you know, your trainers and your coaches, and it's important because you want to get the best of the best, but you want to also be able to get that perfect dynamic, as you said, like the personal touch and the fitness touch all together. Now you did say something important as well, that you took the living room and stuff to make sure that you have your rack there. And you know, that's a big deal. People find excuses why not to work out. You find the excuses, you know, to work out. I don't care about, you know, you remove the excuses so you can get the job done. And that made the difference in your life. And by the way, that should be everybody else's target. I mean, our health is our wealth, as they say, right? So that's a big deal that you did. So what is the importance really of working out, you know, if you have to send that message to our audiences in the world today?
To put it simply, you're just going to have a better life. There's no way around it. People that don't work out, the importance that working out has on someone's quality of life, and everyone that works out seriously, intensely, consistently, they can't overemphasize enough the importance that working out has on someone's quality of life. So it's like, who are you going to listen to? The people that are doing it, and they're like, I literally can't go without it. It feels like I'm not breathing if it's not a part of my day. And you see how much more vibrant they are, how much straighter they stand, better posture, better confidence, all these areas of life that are improved, or people that don't do it and all those things are missing. It's like, who are you going to listen to? I mean, for me, it's so much more than the aesthetics or getting the PRs in the gym. All those things are great, but the mental health, nothing compares to it. I do a lot of personal development practices. I have mindset exercises that I run myself through, that I run my clients through. I meditate every single day, a lot of different things, but nothing comes remotely close to how you feel, how you think, the quality of your thoughts after a workout. You could literally be so negative before a workout. You could think, my life isn't going in the direction I want it to, things aren't working out, yada, yada, yada. After the workout, your objective reality will be the same, but your subjective reality will be completely different. You'll have the answers. You'll have clarity. You'll say, oh, no, this thing is easy. This problem I have at home, I just need to tell my wife this. I just need to communicate. I haven't been I'm up here in my head. I haven't even told her what's really going on. Boom, fixed. This problem at work, I haven't had this confrontation. I've been avoiding it. I need to address it. Boom, fixed. It's just like you have this. It's like the light's coming on. Like this sun that's hitting me right now is kind of going through the trees. I'm getting some mixed shade and sun is looking a little crazy. But it's like the clarity you get. I mean, it's light bulb moment after light bulb moment. I'll have to write notes in my phone when I'm working out because I'll just get these ideas for content, for something I need to say to someone. I haven't reached out to this relative. I need to reach out to them. Like, it goes so much further than just the weights. And it's kind of funny to me that people on the outside, they kind of turn their nose up at like workout people or fitness freaks. Like, man, it's all they talk about. It's like, is it really that important? It's like, if this group of people can't stop talking about how positive this thing is, don't you think there's something to it? How are you not connecting the dots? You're talking about connecting the dots earlier. How are you not seeing the correlation between these people that are fitter, happier, healthier, more vibrant, and they attribute it to training, eating a certain way, to living a certain way, and these people on the outside are like, yeah, it's really overhyped. It's really overblown. It's like, it blows my mind. But for sure, I'm on the other extreme end, perhaps even to an unhealthy degree with how much I need to work out. But also, being addicted to something that's inherently positive seems inherently positive to me. Today, I needed to help my wife out with some things at the house before my son got up. So I got up at 2:55 this morning. I still meditated, still had my perfect breakfast, had a perfect workout. I come home as they're waking up. We're having a perfect start to the day. Have my next meal that's perfectly planned, perfectly measured. It's like so much easier to live a life by design when you train because you design a program and you get this specific result and you're like, oh, that's how life is. Like there's so many, what we call metaphors, things that you can correlate between the gym and real life. When I embrace discomfort, when I go even deeper into the set, I get even more results. What in my life am I avoiding that's uncomfortable that if I applied the very same thing, if I went even deeper into it, I would get the result. I would be on the other side of it. Like I could talk about the benefits of training until I'm blue in the face. And we could certainly do that if we choose to. But yeah, training, everyone that's done it for long enough where they see the results physically, mentally, they're bought in for life as far as I've seen. And the people that are kind of half in, half out, they'll work out for a few weeks, few months, and then not for a few weeks, for a few months. That's the reason they haven't been fully convinced that it'll change their life because they never fully bought in. Like you have to pour yourself into this process, fully ingrain it into your lifestyle for it to change your life. If it's just kind of something you do, it's not going to have the same effect.
Well, thank you. You know, that's powerful because, and the reason I'm asking this is because a lot of people may be like, well, do I have to have the gym part of my whole life? I have to be always at the gym. Well, not necessarily the gym, but working out, you know, like you yes. didn't have to go to gym. You have equipment, at least stuff at home to do. And you don't even have to have equipment. You can do stuff with your own body and resistance training and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff to be done, but you know, I love what you said. It is an addiction, folks. But it's the good kind of addiction. I mean, yes, it's a high. You know, you hit the gym or you work out every day, you feel different. Your energy
level is the best high on planet Earth.
Exactly.
You don't. And I've been high on some other shit. It's the best high on planet Earth because there's no downsides. So many other highs. And yeah, no, right. So many other highs. Life, they come with a negative after. Like you have a drink, yeah, you feel good. Then you don't feel good the next day. Do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. You feel good in the moment. And then after, you're dealing with the aftermath. What's the aftermath of getting the high from the workout? You have a wonderful day. You have better conversations. You have better interactions. You think more positive thoughts. All the other things I already listed. So it's like, I don't second guess or wonder if my addiction is a bad thing. The only thing I will say is people in the personal development sphere, in the hardcore workout sphere, if there is a day or a time where family commitments, for whatever reason, you're not able to work out, I will say that's my Achilles heel. Like sometimes my wife just needs me to stay home. And I'll be honest, like it's very tough. It's freaking brutal. My brain, my hormones, they're all used to by 6 a.m. I've these processes and now I'm thinking of feeling this way. So admittedly, that is the challenge of people that fully pour themselves into this process. If it is a situation where it's out of their hands and they can't have it, they're like, they kind of freak out. I'm still working on that to this day. But again, I feel like that's a better problem to have than, you know, having withdrawals of something else.
But that's an important note that you just mentioned there. First of all, again, it is the highest high. I mean, it's and you're right. There's no, the aftermath, the after effect is really a sweet effect. I mean, you have energy, you have, you're like alive, you feel great, your body feels good. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't worked out in a while, you're going to feel some aches initially. But then once you get used to your stuff and the right nutrition and everything, body is set well. It's energized. The cells are feeling good. You're oxygenated. I love what you said, that you wake up early, you have the same routine, you meditate, you take your breath in, all the stuff is in core. You got pre-planned stuff. You're almost structured in a way, so it becomes part of your life. And really, it is the best thing. Like you said, yeah, you can drink, you can drugs and stuff like that. All that stuff is temporary high, and it's bad aftermath. It's really bad, side effects. The side effect here is you're just better. And you're right, you have clarity. You go to work, the gym, a lot of people come in early before they even hit that job, right? And they shower, they dress up, they go to work. They're really energized. I've used to do that too. I used to do that as well. It was the best thing. You go to work, you're like, you're alive. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm just, my body is kicking. The adrenaline is all over the place. Everything is really on high gears. So it gives you, as opposed to like you slow down, you're like, you're waking up like a zombie and you just kind of figure out the day, and you need like some caffeine shots and stuff just to keep up. So there is that. And you're right. It's again, like everything else, if you have a disruption in that system, it kind of drives you a little nuts. But the fact of the matter is, nature for us as humans has it that we have to work out. I mean, our ancestors were not idle. They were working. They were physically working all the time. I mean, only this last century, we have not even a century, where people are just sitting down in front of screens or whatever and doing less and less work. Prior to that, it was all kind of manual, manual labor and a lot of that, I mean, until like maybe the 1900s, we didn't have that. Everybody was really kind of moving, on around. And so you're doing stuff from sunrise to sunset. Basically, that's how people lived, right? And it was physical. The nutrition was different. Everything was different. Now, some people can, those people didn't live long. They didn't have a good quality of life, blah, blah, blah. That's a whole different show we can have a discussion about. But the fact is, nature, since the time, and like our way back ancestors that were just hunting, that's how it is, right? They were constantly moving and working and, slimmer, fit, fitter and solid, folks.
Just natural.
It's natural. I mean, look, animals, right? I mean, some animals, obviously, they just sit there and gain weight. But for the most part, any animal that is active, they're really like ripped, right? And so same concept. Humans are supposed to be that way. And the minute we don't, the minute we stop, we have obesity, we have weight gain, we have all the stuff, we have mental problems, we have all these, hormonal, disruptions that are happening in our lives. So it's a big deal. You mentioned something very powerful, mindset. You see, there's a lot of the stuff that you're discussing has to do with our mindset. It's how do we see things? How do we want to live? Do we want to live, as you said, live really healthy or live unhealthy? And once you test that, there's no coming back from it. It's really, you don't want to come back. And I know that you train people. Now let's, if you don't mind, share with us some of the transformations. I know you've transformed yourself, but people that you're coaching, like how they felt before and after now, like what do they say? I mean, there is gotta be some, aha moments, like what is this? So what 100%. Is that?
Yeah, so most of my clients that I've had over the last 5 years, they didn't have a workout background before. So it's all completely new. And a lot of people that are invested into the workout fitness world online, we're in such a bubble, we kind of just assume that everyone does this to some extent. Like, yeah, everyone works out. And honestly, that actually played a lot into my confidence issues early on, because I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get all these people. What if they're fitter than me, no more than me? It's just not the case. People that seek out personal training is because they need a personal trainer. It's because they don't know how to work out, or they need the accountability or the structure or all of it put together. So most of my clients have never even stepped into a weight room, or maybe they messed around a little bit in high school. Never fully bought in. So yeah, once I get them on a scheduled structure, we're meeting 2 to 4 to 5 times a week. By 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, they're just a different person. And my favorite transformations to witness are seeing their demeanor change, seeing their posture change, seeing their smile change, their energy change. Yes, they're more jacked, they're lifting more weight, they're loving seeing themselves do things they never thought were possible. That's awesome. But just seeing their entire character transform is so rewarding to me. And it is a slow process, but I've seen so many people that just kind of look like just normal. You wouldn't really pick them out in a crowd, right? Just kind of blending in. If I get them long enough, a year or 2 years, they're not blending in a crowd. The way they stand is different. Their eye contact is different. Their energy is different. And that's my favorite transformation to witness. But I mean, I got one guy, he started out maybe not underweight, but a little bit on the lighter side. We got him pretty beefy, pretty strong, stripped off some of the excess fat that we put on from the intentional gaining phase. And now he's like the most ripped person in his community and his family. He literally just can't believe his own eyes. Like every time he looks in the mirror, he's like, dude, I just didn't think this was available to me. I thought this was reserved for movie stars and fitness models. Like, I didn't know you could just train long enough and track your calories and look like freaking Tarzan. Like, this dude is in crazy shape. So that's been a big, big transformation. Shout out to my client, Joel. He was actually my very first client, and we're still on to this day. He's had kids. His life has changed. So we've restructured how we do things, but he just signed up for a year of online with me because he just knows that there's so much value in this. So he's like a lifelong client in my eyes. But that transformation has been very significant. A lot of other people just correcting their technique. They're like, it always hurt when I did deadlifts. Change this, change that. Now it feels great. I've never felt my glutes when I squat. Change this, change this foot stance. Now I feel it. Like, I love my lifelong clients, but the few that I have had where they just kind of come in, learn what they needed to, and move on, that's also amazing to me because it's like they have the knowledge and now they can go apply it on their own and they're indefinitely getting better results. Because in the gym, there is a right and a wrong way to do things. Like, I see this overemphasis on consistency. They're like, hey, just show up. Just show up. It's all that's half the battle. It's like, yeah, of course that's part of it. Like, you're not going to get any results if you don't show up, but that is not where it ends. Like, there are people every day just showing up in gyms and they're not getting results because there's all these little tweaks that can be made. And once they apply those, now the next 5 years of training will be completely different than if they had their next 5 years of training without making those tweaks. So yeah, just fixing little things in their technique, in their mental approach. That's a big one too. A lot of people, they might come in with this defeatist mindset. They look at other people. This was me for years. I would see big, strong people and just think about how far away they were from me. I would see that gap and I would think, I'll just never do that. I'll never be that. And because of that, I made horrible gains myself for a very long time because of that negative outlook, where really the only thing we have to do is look at, okay, what's my workout today? What's the very best way I can execute on this lift? Let me go do that. What's the very best way I can train to do a little more next week? Is it doing more? Is it peeling back a little bit? Am I doing too much? Let me go do that. What's the best structure of exercises? Like, one of my favorite little phrases is better is always better. Like, there is some nuance and some unique things in the training world. Oh, this person does it this way, but I'm a huge believer in better is always better. If I can rest 3 minutes instead of 90 seconds and get more reps on every set and get stronger and build more muscle over time, I'm resting 3 minutes. I think it's inherently better. Based on different training splits, like, I'm not a huge fan of bro splits, having arm day, leg day. If you can hit a muscle group 2 to 3 times a week, I'm a huge believer that that's better. Better is always better. I'm going to train that way. So these little details, if we can tweak them and then apply that over the next year, 2 years, 5 years, everyone's going to get better results.
You know, it's amazing. There's a couple of things you're touching on. One, I mean, just the latest thing that you mentioned was the concept of how you do it. I mean, there's modalities, right? There's different schools of thoughts. And you're right. You can do the quick splits, the breaks. You can. A lot of people say you can only do one muscle in a, you know, in a particular time, and you have to rest it and so on and so forth. So there's that school of thought. But you're right. If you can touch it, like I do more of a full body kind of a workout, you know, on a regular basis, you know, light everything, and then, you know, so every day almost I touch the same thing or different angles. You know, that's just a formula.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
works for me. So there's different ways to do it. Obviously, I'm not, you know, a trainer. I mean, but I've been in martial arts and training for like 40 years. So I've been always in touch with some sort of a fitness program, right? And, you know, in the martial world, you know, martial arts, training is a little different. There's less weight, there's more resistance and things like that. So it's kind of different. But I also hit the gym and, you know, work out with regular weights and things. I like the machines personally. I'm just at the age where, you know, I don't want to make mistakes. You know, machines kind of give me a little bit more of a body structure. So there's no kind of going crazy stuff. It helps because I've hurt myself over the years as well in, you know, sparring things. So there's different things. But again, I don't stop. I just kind of gauge and kind of tweak things for me personally, right? But I love what you said about it's how people change, right? The mindset, the people that you've worked with and how they transformed. The idea that you said that you looked at people who are completely like bigger and, you know, better and looking good and how that inhibited you, like I'm never going to be there. That's one mistake that a lot of us make in general by comparing ourselves to others, you know, and that's the same thing. We look at other people's success and we just want that success immediately. It Yep. doesn't work that way, folks. It just, everybody's success story is different and unique. They all have the same ingredients that like as the iceberg thing. And we have all these challenges that are on, you know, in the bottom of the iceberg or like the tip, you know, below the base of it. But the fact of the matter is I don't have to worry about like how, you know, Arnold is looking today or then. I just have to look like, how do I get, you know, stages to get, you know, better today, tomorrow, the next day and so on and so forth, stages until I get to a point where I'm looking just like that. And you're right, it will happen. You know, I don't have to, well, that's great to have a goal. That's perfect. You know, I see somebody that looks great, you know, in shape. All right, I want to be like them. But, you know, again, you're right. You go to the gym, you got these guys that are pounding, you know, on weights and puffing and huffing and they're pushing a lot of stuff. I can't do that, you know. So what am I if I can't do it today, I'm not going to go crazy about it. Let me see what I can do today.
And absolutely.
Slowly you're going to build, you're going to tack on weight. I mean, you can start.
Because they didn't walk in their first day and do that. That's
exactly.
The problem. We don't see their day one, day two, day three. We just happen to walk in whatever gym that day, whatever people are there that day, we see what they're doing today. And we're like, man, must be nice to just to be so glorious. Look how fit they are. It could be someone being super ripped or someone just throwing up weights that you just couldn't even fathom lifting. It's like everyone started more or less with the empty bar. And then they added fives and then tens, then tens and fives, then two tens. Like the process is the same for everyone. If someone wants to bench 225 and they're benching 135, and they feel horrible about it because of that gap. It's like, just get to 140, make it look really clean, build your confidence there, get a certain rep count, do 145, yeah. Build the confidence, get a certain rep count, go to 150. Like the process is, it's still linear. It's just a little slow. That's just part of the game. Like I'll hit the same weight for maybe 6 or 7 weeks in a row. And a lot of people, that would be so defeating. They're like, oh, let me go do a different exercise because I'm tired of seeing myself hit the same weights and writing down the same reps. When at the end of the day, that's probably their best bet to get to the next increment is just by staying in their lane, perfecting that technique, greasing that groove. You get 7, 7, 7, 7. Hey, I got 8. Cool. I got 8. I've never done that before. Let me go up on the dumbbell rack. Now I'm up on the next jump. Same process. Like, when I simplify my own training and my clients, I used to get really fancy with it. I would look at these advanced periodization techniques. I'm like, oh, the 3-week waves. And then we need to change the rep scheme because the body's going to adapt and it's going to get stale. I threw all that shit away about a year ago, year and a half ago. And I've made the most gains I ever have by sticking to an exercise for way longer than most people would program in. Like I'll hit the same movements for sometimes 3 months at a time. And it might be week 5, it might be week 8. Eventually, you're going to get more reps with that weight than you did before. And if not, like there's something else wrong. You're not sleeping and eating correctly. And of course, there's all the lifestyle factors outside of the gym. But the process to get to where those people are that we hold in such high regard is basically doing the same thing they did, coming in every day, do a little better than last time. What can I improve? Zoom out a little bit. All right, this is good. So I'm just going to keep that on autopilot. Is my nutrition really up to par? I say that I care. I say that I care about these goals, but Friday through Sunday, I totally just F off and I'm drinking too much. I'm eating wacky stuff. My Monday workout's always rough. Tuesday, I'm still feeling it. Wednesday, I'm back in my work week, so my habits are starting to get more routine. Wow, it's already Friday again. I mean, that was me for years too. I used to have a horrible weekend protocol and it was totally sabotaging my gains. But yeah, comparison to the thief of joy is absolutely real. It can totally take away from your own enjoyment of the process. It's like, I like looking at other people and what they're doing for inspiration, but these days I'm very much more just looking at my own habits. Are they up to par? Are they up to standard? Is this helping? I'm going to do it. Is it hurting? I'm not going to do it. That's one of my biggest mindset tactics and filters I'll apply to everything I think, everything I do, everything I eat. Is this helping or hurting? If you can adopt that binary approach, I promise you, everyone, instantly your brain is going to go, oh, definitely hurting. Like, we know where we're actually messing up. It's not some, oh man, I never thought about that. Like, we know exactly what our biggest flaws are, what our biggest shortcomings are, right? And I mean, the gym and even in life, if you just take a second to think, is this beneficial or not beneficial? Is this to my benefit or to my detriment? If you apply that filter, you'll blow your own mind with how much you already know about what you could be doing better.
Well, thank you. You know, it's amazing. Like, you know, there's a couple of things here. One is, I love what you said. Like, you can do the same movement for months or weeks. And what people don't realize that the brain has to do with this as well. Like, you know, if you start pushing weights in the first day, you got to think that you can't do it. Once you get adjusted and you do more of it, your brain's going to get adjusted. Oh, I can do this.
100%.
And you'll find yourself. This is what I used to find fascinating myself. Like, you get to a point, it's like, this is nothing. You feel like the urge to add more, and you add more, and a couple of weeks go by, and again, that same status is like, oh, this is nothing. We add more. Your body's going to ask for, like, you know, I can do more than this, because he gets used to that. The brain's like, comfy. Now let's push the measures here. Like, let's, and he keeps tacking up. The other thing that is powerful that you said, like, we look at these people that are big, huge, well ripped, right? But we don't know what they do. I mean, there's also food, as you mentioned, nutrition. Is this natural? Is it enhancing? I mean, some people, you know, we know that there is a lot of enhancers out there people that build up, you know, big muscle and bulkier and get bigger for whatever, fitness competition, whatever. So is that really all natural? Because if you go the natural route, it's not going to work quick for you. You're not going to be just like, you know, that big and overnight. I mean,
it takes so long.
Exactly. If you put steroids and stuff, you're going to puff up quick, right? But then you have some hurting, you know, ingredients in your body that's going to, you know, shut down a lot of systems. And I've seen that happen.
Building muscle as a natural athlete, it's like a 5 to 10 to 15 year process before you wake up one day, look in the mirror and go, holy shit, like that is genuinely, objectively impressive. Like, I am actually shocked at what I'm seeing. Like, people that are waiting for that day, 3 months in, 6 months in, it's like, relax, just settle in, enjoy the process, enjoy the day to day, because it's going to be a long, long time. And also, we're so critical of ourselves, it might never happen. Even when you're at your peak, you might still think, damn, isn't there more? I'm going to get a little more jacked in this, right? And to me, I think that's a positive. Like, I love a never satiated mentality. Like, I always want more, not in a desperate, I need it type of way. But if I'm always slightly dissatisfied, grateful for what I have, grateful for what I've accomplished, but slightly dissatisfied and wanting to get to that next level, I have a much better chance of getting to that next level. But yeah, it is a long, long process if you're not getting some help like you're talking about.
Well, there's that. It's also, when do you start? I mean, obviously you can start any point of life, but you know, muscle is something that we gain, also start losing over decades, right? Over time, every year as we age, it's going to drop. So if you don't build enough of it originally, you know, it's going to be harder to build more of it. That means you have to double up and do more things to gain, you know, that muscle structure. And that's the thing. There's you have to understand how we operate as a human. Now, that's the thing. Nobody's teaching us this in schools. Like, for example, when you're like, imagine if we're elementary school, you need to work out because this is going to be important. I think that should be implemented, but, you know, obviously not. But that's that. Imagine if that was part of your curriculum, like how to get fit in life, how to start, you know, the main things that you need to do to be a healthier person. That would be a great class actually to have. You know, we have all these sometimes fluffy classes that we have in our public schools, and even, you know, I guess regular private schools. But the fact is, if we were to educate, I mean, like, a lot of times we hear, like, we don't teach finances, we don't teach, you know, how to
practical real life stuff.
Exactly. Well, health is like the first thing, like, you know, nutrition and health, and like, let's build some muscles early on. If we were to do that, we will change the dynamics of people, because you have the ability to gain weight, you know, and muscle structure early on easier. And then that's the other thing. If you build that core up front, that core stays with you. You might start depleting over time, but if you keep enhancing, you keep maintaining, you look better. A lot of people like, oh, this guy, like, he didn't look this way. All of a sudden, he pumps and he is looking good. That's because he or she already has the structure in there. The muscle deflates a little bit, but it's already there. He pumps and you get a nice little breeze. Like, whoa, the hell? You go to the gym, you almost immediately show the results. Not immediately, but you can see if someone has been working out all their life versus someone who hasn't.
Yeah.
It takes a big difference. So stages are different. That's why you can't judge. And there's genetics. There's, as you said, social stuff. There's different things, behaviors. As you said, someone that TGIF, you know, and they go wasting their weekend on all the wrong stuff with no sleep and stuff. Your body is going to not. And by the way, we hear this all the time. My wife and I, we do have, she does like fitness programs as well. And she gets this like, oh, I'm working out every day, but I'm not seeing the results. Well, what did you eat? Well, I had dinner at 9 p.m. I had this, I had that, we had this. I mean, like, hello, you're having four meals a day and all of it is not healthy and you expect to change a lot of carbs. Ain't happening. That's not how it works. We can burn all we want. We can build all we want, but we destroy it at the same time. So it's like you're building the house and you destroy it every day. It's not going to come up.
Taking a step forward and taking a step backward.
Exactly.
That's a great way to get absolutely nowhere.
But a lot of people are mistakenly doing that, not because their intent is.
Exactly.
They just don't know that they feel that they're doing, I'm working out. Because again, there's a lot of message that says, just work it, you know, just do the thing. Well, you do it, but it has to have all other components. It's not a one thing, it's a lot of things at the same time to make. You said meditation, sleep, food, you know, lifestyle. All of this has to. Also, your support system, your family is kind of with you in the system. If you're the only one doing, everybody is like pushing you to do the wrong thing, you might have to sometimes, you know, slack off as well. So all these things are important. Now you mentioned nutrition for you, like, you know, you have a good meal prep, a good breakfast and stuff. So let's talk about the importance of that for all this, whether weight gain, you know, muscle gain, you know, just getting ripped and all the stuff and what not to do, what to do and what not to do. And you mentioned even calories. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. First and foremost, track calories. Track macronutrients. You don't have to do it for your entire life, but just 3 months of weighing out, measuring your food, it's a paradigm shift. Once you've been exposed to that information and you can eyeball a cup of rice and know that, or eyeball a serving of rice and say, okay, that's about a cup. Eyeball a serving of meat. All right, that's like 6 to 8 ounces. I'm getting like 30 to 40 grams of protein. Like, you will never be the same. I'm a big fan of tracking just indefinitely. I've been tracking for years and years and years. Even when I was intentionally getting big and got way too big, I was still tracking my 4,000 calories, which was a ridiculous plan that I adhered to, and got super soft and doughy in the process. But even then, I was still tracking. For me, not tracking would be like going to the gym with a blindfold on. You're just grabbing complete random weights. Oh, this one's heavier. Oh shit! Or you're just throwing whatever on the bar, like just hoping for the best. Are definitely eating more than they think they are if they don't have an understanding of how calorically dense fats are or different items. Just yesterday, my wife, she was like, this peanut butter is crazy. She pulled out a little measuring thing. She was like, that's it for 200 calories? Like, that kind of stuff. Again, people in the fitness world, we kind of take it for granted. Doesn't everyone know that? No, everyone doesn't know that. They might have seen an article here and there, but until you fully dive into that process, you don't have a true understanding of how much food is too little, the right amount, or too much. So tracking calories, tracking macros, I'm a huge advocate for. I've done it for years. I try and push all my in-person clients to do so. And then all my online clients, that's part of my system with them, as I set their numbers. I monitor it. I see their meals and macros in my training app. If they're telling me, man, I felt super weak today, and I look and they literally like didn't eat the day before, I'm like, I'm not surprised that you didn't feel that great or you felt weak. Like, we can't separate what we're doing outside of the gym with what we're doing it. Like, it 100% has a huge, huge impact on our performance, how we feel, how strong we are. But yeah, tracking is a big one. I saw on your page, you go into some of the more nuanced stuff like organic versus non-organic, different seed oils, are they good or bad, stuff like that. I like looking into that stuff and I do think it's important, but even that, a lot of people, they'll pride themselves on, yep, I ate this organic thing and it's because it's good for me. I'm like, well, how much protein did you have yesterday? And they're like, I have no idea. I don't even know what you just asked me. It's like, well, let's let's focus on what I would consider the basics first, like carbs, fats, and proteins. That's just the basics. If you're hitting the right amount of protein, the right amount of carbs, the right amount of fats, you're going to get the result. It 100% works. You can be vegan and eat too much. You can do keto and eat too little. Calories are calories. Like this is the basics. Let's build this foundation. And then if you want to explore organic versus non-organic, eating cleaner, less junk food, more whole foods, like that's also going to have an impact on how good you feel, perhaps how well you digest the food. But just knowing how much you're having, that's the foundation.
Well, thank you for highlighting that, because that's a good piece of discussion. Well, so you're right. There is the basics, right? You need your fats, you need your muscle stuff, right? You need your proteins, right? Those are the things that you need. And organic versus non-organic means whether you're getting pesticides and insecticides and chemicals in your nutrition or not. So that's kind of like more of the nuance. But the fact of the matter is you still need the base. Now you can have meat, eggs or eggs. You know, they're still eggs. The problem is you get eggs with a coat of unneeded stuff in your body, which will affect things. So, but you're right. As far as nutrition, at least for like, you know, the intake, you want to have the core elements to build, you know, your blocks, right? Your building blocks.
That's it.
You're right. Then it's like building, you know, I love this. When someone comes to your house or whatever, it's very easy to criticize, like, well, why is this portrait here or this thing here? I'm just giving an example. People always like, they have their own way of decor and the way they want to see things, right? So they come in and they just look at the obvious, but they don't look at the core with the buildup, right? Like, you know, let's build like, or even a business. Everybody has an opinion about how you run your business, but they don't even own a business. They haven't even started a business. They don't even know what it takes to start a business. So how do you judge when you haven't even experienced what it takes? Same concept here. You can't say, you know, I want to do this. You go to the core, you build the structure, the foundation, then you start enhancing the cosmetic and aesthetic look, which will be like removing all the bad stuff, right? But that's usually the problem. People don't even see that. Yeah, so again, and by the way, the whole thing with organic versus organic, there's a whole debate now. Because again, our nutrition is not really where it's supposed to be. If you don't know what you're getting into, you get a lot of, it's more about getting chemicals in your body that are really carcinogens and things like that, that will hurt you in the long run. Sugars, for example, everything has got sugars in it. I mean, now there's this whole that Kellogg's thing that's going on, you know, out there. It's a big deal. And then, you know, there's McDonald's now with the E. coli, you know, bacteria, whatever stuff. So these are the things that why we have a lot of discussion, because on our nutrition, you know, channel and the health channel, we try to touch on these things just to give people awareness that, listen, folks, eat whatever you want. I mean, I've been working on this a little experiment myself, you know, where I had this Burger King Junior Whopper in my fridge for over 3 months. It's actually now it's going to come out as an actual reel, and literally you will see that thing did not change. If you see it, it looks literally just as it was. I mean, when you open it looks a little off, but that thing did not even have a spoiled look into it. That's how, you know, these things are so synthetic.
It's alarming.
You know, it's alarming. But this is the thing. So is it meat? Maybe. I don't even know, because my cats don't even want to eat that stuff. but really, so these are the things. So thank you for touching on the organic versus, like, obviously you want to eat the necessary stuff. And then if you can get grass-fed, pasteurized, you know, all this, not pasteurized, you know, pasture-raised, you know, stuff. Like element, you know, all these things, raw milk, whatever things. Like, for example, raw milk is not even permissible to sell in some states, right? Or like, you know, you can't buy it, you know, it's illegal unless you go to the farm. You know, so these are things, but that's a enhanced level of living, you know, healthier stuff. And again, side by side, us versus Europe, us versus Canada, us versus Japan, you know, everything is different in their way of like, same product, same everything. Again, not talking about Kellogg's, they use different things here that they use different things in Europe. Why? It's the same company. Why are we just that expendable as humans? I was talking about, you know, I was asking these questions to a tech in a lab pharmacy, you know, person. And it's amazing that there are four stages of trials, you know, there's stage one to stage two. But what we don't know is that stage four is actually public testing. That's really what it is. Stage one is when they do it in lab, chemical reactions, all the stuff, all the synthetic molecules are being tested. Then they go to like three, which is like, you know, two is like, you know, mice and rats and stuff. three is like a universe of a few hundreds of people tested on, you know, these medications, whatever. And then the fourth one, guess what? It is in the public. And then if they have enough feedback that is negative, they recall the products. Who knew that? I really, it was like when I was hearing this, I'm like, what? So that means the public is a guinea pig population that is voluntarily buying these products and testing it on themselves. And should they see a lot more of negative outcomes, then maybe that company will remove these things. That's what's happening. I mean, they remove things when we complain about them, when we have enough evidence that it's hurting us.
And it's such a long-term thing. Like, let's say someone gets a disease or something. Are they going to be able to trace it back to some cereal they got off the shelf and they've been having it for the last 15 years? Like, it's so hard to say that's what it was. So really, it's like money moves the conversation and people stop buying the shit. If they were like, hey, we'll come back when you make it like you do in all the other countries, for whatever reason, you're making it different here because it's cheaper, it's better for your profit margins, but we all feel gross after we eat it. Like, intuitively, we just feel something's off. We're not going to buy it anymore. I guarantee you they would change it up real quick. But if they're saving money because they're doing things a certain way and people are still buying it, why would they change it? They're like, this is great. And I don't envy people that are in those situations where it's like this morality versus profit thing. It's really easy for us to be like, oh, it should just be what's best for us no matter what. I can't imagine being a board member and you're sitting there looking at the numbers and you're like, we can make how much more? We put that filler in there and they're like, yep, you're going on vacation. You're getting your third beach house, whatever. And they're like, and it's kind of bad, but maybe it's okay. They're like, yeah, the studies are inconclusive. Like, okay, put it in. Like, I don't envy those kind of decisions. That's got to be tough. And a lot of people that go the more natural, organic route, like I've seen a lot of companies not make it because it's more expensive or there's so much more that goes into it. The shelf life, right? Like, I love Dave's Killer Bread, but I mean, you'll grab it and like it expires tomorrow and it's a whole loaf. You're like, I mean, I can't really eat it all today. And then this other brand lasts until next year. And you're like, that doesn't seem right either. So it's a tough thing. I think having kind of an 80-20 principle is a good move for most people. It's like, if you're aware that this thing might have something that might not be good for you and you can afford the better version, or it's about the same, just get the other one. But I do feel that you can kind of freak yourself out and really get stressed out about it. Then you don't even know like what to get and what to eat. And now your cortisol is up. Like back when I was vegan years ago, I was so funny about even drinking tap water. I'm like, it calcifies the pineal gland. I gotta bring my reverse osmosis water with me everywhere I go. There might be something to that. So now, like, I do drink a specific kind of water most of the time. But if I'm at a restaurant, I'm not going to stress myself out and flip out about, you know, just ordering a water at the restaurant. So that works well for me. But again, also, people that dive more into that process, they only feel better the cleaner they eat. So I can't blame people that are like full bore into it for shouting from the rooftops and making it their whole mission to spread that information. Cause I mean, my whole thing is better is always better if they're very convinced and have convincing information that this is a better way to eat. So I get it. I get why people talk about it.
Again, listen, you said it best. It's not going to be 100%. Cause even if you tried 100%, it's almost impossible. Cause we have so much stuff that's already so far in that we've,
the machine's too big.
Exactly. It's too big to, you, can you help the impact? Yes. And can we give enough awareness so people can start changing and become more sustainable, still profitable? I think that's what it is. I mean, we're not against making profits. We're talking Europe to us. They're making the same profits there. They're just doing healthy. So if we can do it there, why can't you do it? That's all there is. So that's kind of question. So it's not so much about that. And you're right. There's a bread. Can a bread last for a couple of days? Yeah, if you buy the stuff. I mean, we're so used to like putting stuff in the freezers and let them be. Although there are studies that if you put bread in the freezer, it takes away the starch, whatever. So you can't win. There's a lot of studies out there. So it's very like mind-blowing stuff when you start getting deep dive in there. And the more you find, the more you have to make some adjustment. It's funny, you talked about the water, you know, reverse osmosis, but then we have the PFS and, you know, and the plastics, you know, forever, you know. So I mean, it's you almost cannot win, folks. I mean, unless you go back to like 100 years ago where everything is purely natural pottery and, you know, ceramic stuff or stainless, you know, things. And even those, you got to be, I mean, it's, forget it. It's crazy. We're just so much into this. It's not even funny. Now, this is not a nutrition show today. This is more about fitness and coaching, you know. So now let's talk about your program. You know, how long does it take? How does it work? You know, how can people also reach out to you?
Yeah. So in Raleigh, North Carolina, I train out of Archetype Strength. It's all through my business, Oak City Strong. So anyone in my local area, just reach out to me on Instagram and we'll get you set up, hit a movement assessment, get you coming in a few times a week, get you on a regular structured program. And then if people want to do some with me and some online, I have a hybrid option. And then a lot of people listening all over the world, my online training, I'm especially excited about because I do dive a little deeper into the mindset topics. I set up their program. I monitor everything. I adjust it week to week. It's not cookie cutter. It's not just copy and paste. It's all personalized. I set their macros. I set the nutrition. Again, I'm monitoring all that in real time, 24/7 on my app. And then every week we have a Zoom call to go over how's the gym going? How's the diet going? What are the pitfalls? What's working against you? What can we do better? And then also, again, we get into real life topics like what's going on with you? What's bothering you in your life? Let's really get into it. How can we overcome it? How can we fix it? A lot of people, I look around and they're just in autopilot. They're just kind of cruising. It's like my kick lately is diving deeper into negative emotions. It's like, if you don't like a certain thing about your life, let's change it. Unless you can. If it's your height, yeah, you're better off choosing the acceptance route. Let me just make peace with being 5'3" or 5'5", whatever it is, right? If it's something you can change, like your style, the way you dress, the way you eat, your job, like, let's reverse engineer that process, figure out what we can do today to get you closer to that thing being different. So I'm a huge, huge believer in just a life by design. Like, if someone has anxiety about social elements going out, it's like, well, obvious answer. We just need to go out more. You go out once, you know, a month, and you get weird at the grocery store. Like, you need to throw yourself into social settings until now it's normal. So kind of silly example, but little stuff like that. But yeah, so the online training, that's all Oak City Strong. Just reach out to me on Instagram and I can break that down for you. It's $299 a month, up to $2,000 a year based on which tier you get. And everyone that I work with, and this isn't just me tooting my own horn, it's just a fact, everyone gets outstanding results. There's just no way around it. I pride myself on every single person I work with getting outstanding results because I genuinely care. I spent years in the gym not getting outstanding results. It was very painful. I was like, the ROI on my time and energy has been horrible. And then as I've flipped these different modalities, flipped these different prescriptions, now I'm getting a great result. I'm going to do my very best to get everyone on this side of things.
Well, so you have a very diversified portfolio of options for people in person, hybrid, or completely virtual, and they all work. And that's the thing. So for those that are local, great, you know, access direct. For those that have time to do a little bit both, that works. And for those that are international, worldwide, you still have access to these results. And I love the concept that it's an app, it's trackable, you have the stuff, it's monitored, and there's an accountability factor that people have to really be, you know, always in touch with you as well as with their data. So, you know, they can't finagle stuff because you can track and you can see the results versus what the information is, and you can
100%. Those things.
So that's cool. So you using technology to also enhance the ability to actually get and coach people properly. And that's the thing. The science is clear. You can get, you know, the information correctly and you can see what it looks like. And it feels good to actually, you know, help people. I love what you said. You know your results. You know that you're happy about how these are, and you know, you pride yourself into terms of all the achievements you've had with your clients, and that's important for those people that are watching and listening. That's always great to hear, you know, from someone who's actually providing the services and coaching, especially in the fitness world. I love what you said. And by the way, you've done it. You've been in the previous years where you didn't see the ROIs because you weren't doing, and then when you tweaked everything, you can see the result. That's also like some people like question, they're skeptical, like, well, what do you know? Well, I've been there. I've been in your shoes. I know exactly what works and what doesn't because I've done the wrong things And I didn't get the results when I did the right things. I see the results. Now, you can't make that up. You know, sometimes it's easier to say like, oh, it's, you know, I can do this. But if you can show that you were there and here, you were in the shoes, there's no more challenge in that discussion. Now, just quickly, one thing I didn't touch on or didn't ask about is, you know, you mentioned a lot about weight and training and stuff. Is there any cardio involvement? Because a lot of people think cardio is the way to go. And they do a lot of, you know, stuff that just to burn fat, right? You know, now again, I think that's a big differentiation in terms of like what the achievements will look like, you know. So what do you say about that?
If I had to pick only one, it would definitely be weight training, resistance training. Since we don't have to pick one, I'm a big fan of both. 15 to 20,000 steps a day is my go-to. People say 10,000. I get that at like 9 a.m. So I have kind of a, I'm a little judgmental on it. Like people say, oh, 10K, you know, I'm fighting for it. I'm only at 5,000 and it's 5 p.m. I'm like, you are barely moving. You're barely moving. So steps are huge. I wear this Garmin watch, Fitbit, all the different step trackers are great. It really makes it where it's not out of sight, out of mind. Tells you exactly what steps you're getting. So if you don't want to go the full dedicated cardio route, as long as you're getting 10 as a minimum, like I say 10,000 is for general health, 15 to 20,000 is for weight loss, if that's someone's goal. But that's a great way to check that heart healthy box, is just getting that activity in. It doesn't have to be on the treadmill. It can just be walking around the neighborhood, right? But I am a fan of traditional cardio, treadmill on the incline at like 10 or 12, speed around 3. If you do that 45 to 60 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week, like you will drop a ton of fat. You will feel better. You'll have more energy. You'll look better. I think it's great. I love the elliptical. I love the Stairmaster, all that stuff. It is funny. I'm seeing a trend of like hating on cardio lately. They're like, cardio is killing your gains. Or cardio is just so unnecessary. I think that's crazy. It's just another tool in the tool belt. Like, you are going to look and feel better if you're doing cardio versus not doing cardio, or at least if you're getting this amount of activity versus getting this amount of activity.
Well, again, I love your, how you structure things. Cardio is one thing, weight gain, you know, weight, you know, training is another. Cardio does one thing. I mean, it has its purpose. You got to burn and you build your cardio as it states, right? You got to raise up that heartbeat and all the stuff, but it does kind of burn a little bit of fat. But burning fat and building muscle is two different things. One is reducing that extra mass. The other one is really building that nice mass of your muscles and structure stuff that's protecting you over the years. As you age, you're going to need the muscle anyways, because it is a fact. The more you have muscle as you age, the better, because you can be protected, you know, in the long run. So early ages is where you need to be. And by the way, not just early, you got to maintain it, but at least you got to start. The sooner you start, the better you are. But you're right, a combination of both is not going to hurt you, as long as you know. But what you said about your bare minimum is 10,000, you know, steps, which should be the average person, really, we should be able to do that. But you're right, there are people that may be so sitting all day. Again, some jobs require for you to be in a computer, although now they have these stand up, you know, a desk where you can stand and do your work. I mean, it's standing.
I can't tell you how many people I've said, oh, we got to get a standing desk. And they go, and I'm like, you have one, don't you? And they're like, yes. I'm like, and you don't use it? They're like, no. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy how much people get in their own way. And I do have empathy for people that have those kind of jobs. And let's say, you know, they train in the morning, weight training, they have their 9 to 5 and they only have 4 or 5,000 steps. And they're like, damn, but guess what? We're going for a walk after you finish your work shift. Like, either do it and get the result or don't, and don't get the result. We don't get to throw our hands up and say, hey, just, if only there was some way I could do this. It's like, I do have a little bit of a lack of empathy for people that just can't bring themselves to do the cardio. Cause I'm like, you can get on a treadmill and it walks you for you. You're not even thinking right foot, left foot. Like, you're literally like a hamster on a wheel. And I'll put on a show, I'll watch a movie, I'll find a good series where the episodes are like about 48 minute run times, and I'll put it on the incline. I'm not even thinking about that I'm walking or burning calories. I'm just enjoying a show. I don't really have any like down leisure time. So that's when I get to have some kind of entertainment. I'll go through the Matrix trilogy, or I'll just go through some cool old movies and chop it up in different parts. Most recently, I lost 60 pounds. I went from 220 to 160, and watching different shows and movies on that freaking treadmill on the incline was a huge part of it. There's no way it would have happened without it. And to me, that's like the least hardcore thing ever. Like, I'm not like, yep, I had to blood, sweat, and tears. I'm like, no, this machine walked me for me and I watched some TV. Like, it couldn't get any more user-friendly or easier to get behind when we have these technologies and put the phone up. I've seen people bring a tablet and watch a show. I'm like, I think that's great. If it keeps you distracted and keeps your mind occupied and you look down, wow, I just burned 500 calories. Like, that's awesome.
No. Listen to you. There are no excuses, folks. I mean, you know, we make the excuses, but there's solutions to everything. I mean, they have, you know, like in TikTok, they have these basic treadmills that are actually not even heavy ones. They're soft. You can put it under the desk.
The walking pad.
Yeah, the walking pad. You walk into
legit.
It. Yeah, they work. We have one. It's actually pretty cool. You don't have to do it. You can, as you said, watch, work, do whatever, and you just do it. A bike can do the same thing. If you can, maybe your knees, whatever. Like in my case, I do more bike than walking.
That's
you
great.
Know, it works for me. You know, I get all the stuff working, but I'm still doing my stuff. So there's different ways, folks, that you can do. It's just got to do it. That's it, you know.
And a lot of people, they'll say, oh, I would love to do the cardio and the walking, but I'm just so tired. You're tired because you're not walking.
You're not working.
If I do have the rare 1 in 1,000 lethargic kind of day, I am the most tired. I have the worst thoughts. I feel the worst. I'm like, man, it's like hard to get up and go to the pantry to get another snack. The days that I'm constantly moving, which is like every day, like I literally, unless I'm doing a podcast like this, some days I don't even sit. From the second I wake up at 3:30 in the morning till I go to bed around 8 o'clock, I am on my feet the entire day. And guess what? My energy is through the roof. I'm never tired. Even when I am tired, I'm still in motion. I'm still moving. It's just 24/7. I get home, grab my son, and we're going for a walk. Put them down. I'm moving over here, doing demo videos. It's kind of unique. What I do for work, I'm definitely very blessed in that my job requires me to be on my feet. But even when I had jobs that weren't that way, I would still move. Like, you got to move. You got to move.
Well, your body's optimized, and that's what it is. And by the way, you know, it's funny because I think this is a call to all ownerships and businesses out there. You know, again, as I mentioned, we need maybe to educate our children about working out and do the stuff early. Well, maybe we should. I mean, we do have PT, whatever, in schools, but it's just a bunch of stuff that is not even doing anything. But if we enhance that or by emphasizing on that for our kids, it would be great to the next generation. But also, even business, you know, what says that, you know, business cannot implement some sort of a protocol that in every couple of hours, there's some 5 minutes, you know, I don't know, jumping jacks, whatever. I'm not, don't sweat it, you know, because you're obviously at work, but you know, something, just walk in place, you know, take a walk. And I see a lot of people do it in breaks. They just walk around the office or whatever when it's beautiful. But maybe we can implement some things like this to help people. And there are companies that have gyms in the office, you know, where when you take your lunch, you can literally hit the gym and they subsidize these things for you. Some companies pay for your gym membership as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff. So again, you know, the more we do as a society, I think, you know, and we're going to enhance the performance of our people, because you're right. If the energy of your employees is high, the performance is going to be just as high.
Oh, yeah.
And higher. So folks, there's a win-win for everybody. Health, you know, and by the way, if they're healthier, that means they may not even use the insurance that you're deeply paying for. That means you may even get discounts. So there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about how you make people healthier and still profit from the idea. You know, even if you have to get them a small membership, you know, deducted, it's still going to be good for them and for you. So again, at the end of the day, there are different ways to do this. But so listen, we've exceeded our hour here, you know, Elijah, but it was powerful discussion. You know, anything you want to leave our audiences with today in terms of just an advice?
Yeah, I truly believe everyone's highest quality of life is on the other side of mastering their training, mastering their nutrition, and mastering their mindset. If you have a consistent workout routine, you will look, feel, and think better. If you have your nutrition dialed in, you will look, think, and feel better. And if you have your mindset dialed in, you will look, feel, and think better. No one's worse off by being better off. I love that you said it's a win-win. That's my whole thing. Let's have a win-win mentality. Like, I spend a lot of my free time walking around the neighborhood, and people be like, oh, that's so sad. He could be sitting down and just zoning out of the TV. It's like, no, that would be sad. Like, I'll hang out with my wife a little bit. We'll watch a show. We have a show that we like, but for the most part, everything I do, it's not this sacrifice. It's not, oh man, I have to walk again. It's, oh man, I get to walk again and I feel great and I'm looking better than even yesterday. These results are coming in at a rapid rate. The more that I do, the more I put in, the more I get out. So I just encourage everyone to master those three areas, especially that last one, the mindset. People really sleep on it. A lot of people in the workout world, it's like they work out and that's the highlight of their day. Then the rest of the day, like, oh man, okay, just got to wait for the next workout. The quality of our thoughts massively dictate the quality of our life. What are the negative thoughts you have on a regular basis? Are they negative thoughts for a good reason, like we dwelled on earlier? Maybe we should change those things. Are you depressed about this circumstance? Let's change the circumstance. Or are you having negative thoughts for things that are irrational? Let's really dwell on that. Is it an irrational thought? Well, let's not have it. Are you dwelling on something that's taken away from your peace for no good reason? Well, that's dumb. Is it for a good reason? Well, that's pretty smart. Let's fix it. Like, the training, the nutrition, and the mindset, if those things are brought to the highest level, which is what I do with all my people, you're going to have an amazing life. It's not possible. How could you feel, look, and think better, but be worse off? It's not possible.
Ooh, all right. Well, listen, I don't have to add anything to that. That's pretty powerful right there. So, Coach, thank you so much, Elijah, for joining us, for sharing your story, your work, and what you do to help people. And really, it's a lot of great stuff. It's a pumping morning right now. This is like energizing just to hear, you know, at least for me, yeah, as well as anybody that's watching, listening. So if you're watching, listening, you know, I hope you enjoyed the discussion and really grab it, take it to the bank. Do reach out to Elijah if you do need the assistance and help and guidance. I'm assuming that you probably do some consultations with people to evaluate them, as you said, the movement assessment or something that you mentioned earlier. So that's important. You know, hey, listen, check it out. What do you have to lose? I mean, everything to gain rather than lose anything, right?
At least you get
some information that's even more, you know, as simple as that, or you get the results that you want, that you've always dreamt of. So that's it. So Elijah, thank you so much for being with us, man. It was a great, you know, opportunity to have you and have this discussion. All right, folks, this is the end of the show. I'm American H. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show, new topic. Bye for now.